Okay, well, that was a fantastic meal. Who was responsible for those pork chops that were swimming in that gravy? Anybody going to claim it? Boy, it was good stuff. Which one of you ladies made that cheesecake with the cherries on top? We don't know. That was good. I have some in my pocket. Okay, well, I am going to, couple things. First of all, I'm going to teach for a little while, and then we can have a question and answer time at the end. I don't think I will be long. Brother Domley said he wasn't going to be long, and then he had 20 points to his sermon. So I'm not sure how, when I say I don't think I'll be long, what that really means. Now, I'm not going to do a Bible study with you. I'm not going to talk about Sunday school. I want to talk about something that all of us, if we are going to do anything for God, it's something that we're going to have to learn. And I want to talk to you about people. People is our work. I've often said this. There are two things that will make you a success in your Christian life. The first is your relationship with God. The second, it's your relationship with people. Really, all I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some observations about people. The more you interact with people, the more you'll probably understand the things that I am saying. I think especially those that would be pastors and assistant pastors and those that would be leaders in the church with the adult sector of the church possibly will glean from what I'm going to tell you. I want you to get your Bible out. I'll refer to many scriptures today. We'll look together in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I call this little lesson attitude protection for people helpers. If you're a helper of people, you're going to have to protect your attitude a little bit because of the nature of people. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 19. The Bible says this: "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews became I as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." The Apostle Paul is being used of God to speak these words. In my church, I told you earlier, we have many adult Sunday school classes. I have taught the people that help with those Sunday school classes that people work is hard work. It's just hard work. Let me tell you all something that my experience, and I do get to travel around and see a lot of churches. Most independent fundamental Baptist churches do not lose people out of their church over doctrine. Most of the time when we're losing people out of our church, quite often it is our relationship problems within a church. Oh, now there are times when someone, a pastor stands up, he stands for pure doctrine, somebody in the church doesn't want it, and so there's you know, maybe a division there. But if you and I could learn better to handle people and to deal with people and to get along with people, it'll make all the difference in the world as to our attitude. But there's some things I'm going to tell you. Now, I'm going to talk to you about the human race. We're odd, us humans are. We're odd. We can be hard to get along with. We can be opinionated. We can be fickle. We can be stubborn. We can be down, flat, right out, stupid sometimes. And, well, not you, of course, always the other guy. But I call this attitude protection for people helpers. You see, people work is just that. It's hard work. And it is work to get along with people. I'll tell you this, though. People work is rewarding work. People work is a challenging work. Now, if you'll walk with God, He will give you the strength and the courage to help people. I'll make some statements. I'm not going to take the time to explain every statement in great detail. But, for instance, I'm not disillusioned with people, because I was never illusioned with people in the first place. Say, what do you mean by that? What I mean is, when sinners do the things that sinners do, I'm not shocked at that. I've not lost track of the fact of what people are. You see, I said I've not become disillusioned with people, because I was never illusioned with them in the first place. You see, you and I, we get disappointed to the point of depression and want to push away from people because somehow we have developed an illusion about what they are. Don't be shocked when people act like people. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself saying, oh, phooey, with people. Well, people, that's our business. That's what we do. Did you know the church is not all about that piano? Now it's about the person that sat at that piano, people. Church is not all about these nice chairs and this pulpit. Church is about God and people. That's it. That's what it's all about. Thank God for nice buildings. Thank God for a nice piano. Thank God for all the things that we have. But really, folks, most important thing is God and people. And we've got to be careful that we keep that in mind. I am going to make, and I'll tell you exactly how many. I have 9 statements. I'll make these statements quickly. I will apply them to those of you that do a lot of people work. I want you to just hang in there and keep doing your people work. For instance, my first observation is this, and remember, I'm wanting to help all of us with our attitude about people. Point number one, people are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Yeah. People are illogical, they're unreasonable, and self-centered. But here's what I think I want to tell you. Love and trust them anyway. Love and trust them anyway. I know Jesus did. Let me read a verse to you. In Luke 23:34 it says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Do you understand? These people, what they had done to Jesus, they are crucifying him. He turns to God and he says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He's basically saying these dumb people have no idea what they're doing right now. He was dying for the ones nailing him to the cross. You see, people are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. But I have to tell you, let's not give up on helping people. And there's somebody in here. You've said that it makes no sense to me, and she's being totally unreasonable, and she's totally self-centered, and I've had it. That's what people are. Love, trust, and help them anyways. That's what we do. Don't give up on people. People need someone who cares. Don't let man's sinful behavior shock you out of helping people. You say, they're just sometimes people do the unimaginable. Okay, fine. Then after they do, you just keep trying to help people. There are people that they become disillusioned. Come around to church, see people come to the church. They say, oh, good. Boy, I found a church. And everybody here is perfect. And they love Jesus. Wow. This is going to be fantastic. And how long does it take before they say, I can't believe her. I can't believe him. Look, if you find the perfect church and you go and join it, you just blew their record. People's made up, or churches are made up of a bunch of people. You know what people are? Sinners. 2 kinds of sinners. Saved ones and lost ones. So, people are illogical. They are unreasonable. And they are self-centered. Love and trust them anyways. Jesus did. Secondly, I hate to tell you this, but if you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish or ulterior motives. Say, what should I do? Do good anyway. Do good anyways. See, you're going to launch out to do something good, and someone's going to say, well, I know why he's doing that, or I know why she's doing that. And it makes you think, well, maybe I shouldn't do it. No, do good, because good is right to do. What people think and the way people behave should not determine whether or not you and I do right. Read a couple verses to you. Matthew 11, verse 16, it says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows. Then in verse 19 of the very same chapter, it says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. You understand? Jesus came along. He was trying to help some sinners, and everybody said, look at him. He's over there eating. He's gluttonous, and he's a friend of those people. There's got to be something in this for him. Look, folks, if you help others out of a pure heart, somebody is going to disbelieve your sincerity. You say, why? I'll tell you why. That's because you and I, as a part of the human race, we always judge people and their motives on the basis of our motives. You see, we might not be able to do it for the right reason. If I don't do it for the right reason, I'm probably going to look at you and say, well, you're probably not doing it for the right reason either. That's the way people are. Usually people will determine your sincerity on the basis of theirs. With that, it's hard on you. I'm not saying that's always the case. But if you do good and people accuse you of being selfish or having ulterior motives, go ahead and keep doing good. Now, you just got into the church and you think you're going to have some family member say, well, I know why you're going down there to that church, and I know why you're doing this, and I know why you're doing that. If you're not careful, they will psych you out of doing what you ought to do. You were doing it for a good reason, but they could not figure that reason out. Therefore, they put pressure on you. My friend, you do good anyway, no matter what people do. Because I've learned that people are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered, and I need to love and trust them anyways. And then I've learned that if I do good, people will accuse me of selfish, ulterior motive, but I'm going to go ahead and do good anyways. Thirdly, if you're successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. That sounds crazy. If you're successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. So what should I do? Attempt to succeed anyway. Attempt to succeed anyway. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. In Luke chapter 19, verse 36, 37, and 38, it says, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. When he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, here the crowd, this is about Jesus. Here the crowd is all for Jesus. Remember, I told you, if you're successful, you'll win some false friends and some true enemies. Now, in that passage of Scripture that I just read, the crowd is all for Jesus. Now, at another time, the very same people in the very same chapter, listen to what it says. But they cried out, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, should I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Let me explain. One minute they were for him, the next minute they were not. How incredible. If you're successful, there'll be some people that will gather around you. I can't always tell you that they're true blue friends. But you can find some true blue enemies. Herod told the wise men when the wise men were seeking the newborn Jesus, you know what Herod said? He said, you tell me when you find him because I want to come worship him too. If you know the story, Herod did not want to worship him. He was masquerading as a friend. He would have done harm. And folks, I'm very sorry that the human race is so tainted and the human race can be so sinful and evil and rude. There are sometimes when you begin to have success, there will be people that will facade or masquerade as a friend when they're not. And I can assure you, most positively, as you succeed, you will have some that will not even masquerade as friends. They will just be true blue enemies. You say, what do I do? Keep trying to succeed. Keep trying to succeed. You see, all I'm doing is explaining to you the sinful nature of the human race, and that's what you and I deal with in the church. And if we're not careful, we'll become disillusioned with people. But if you were never illusioned in the first place, you won't become disillusioned. And so if we will just always remember, we're a bunch of sinners saved by grace, and I'm one sinner trying to help another sinner, and I've got to be careful that I don't get such high hopes and such high expectation that I get beat up about all the sinners around me. You know what sinners do? They sin. That's what they do. I know men of God, I know pastors and assistant pastors and evangelists and missionaries that have not lasted. They didn't last. They're in the ministry a little while and then they got out. And most of the time, the biggest thing that they deal with is people. You get tired of people. You get tired of their behavior. You get disgusted with them. You think, why can't they do better? Why don't they do better? I want them to do better, and you want them to do better. But if they do not, we shouldn't quit. That shouldn't cause us to want to leave the church. That shouldn't cause us to want to give up our ministry. And so people are illogical. People are unreasonable. And people are self-centered. Let's love and trust them and keep trying. If you do good, they're going to accuse you of selfish, ulterior motive. And keep doing good anyway. If you're successful, you're going to have some false friends and some true enemies. Just keep trying to succeed. Fourthly, and this one's hard. The service that you render today will be forgotten tomorrow. The service that you render today will be forgotten tomorrow. So what should I do? Serve today anyway. Just keep serving. Let me read a verse to you. In Luke 17:17, it says, And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There were 10 that were of disease, and all 10 of them were cleansed or healed. Only one of the 10 came back and showed thanks. The other 9, they just got out of Dodge. They took the money and ran. You know, take the money and run. They took the help and walked away. I'll tell y'all, you are going to help people today, and they won't even remember it tomorrow. You can sacrifice to the depth of your soul and to the depth of the danger of your own failure. You can do that today. People will take everything you give them, and some will just walk away, never turn back to say thank you. So what should I do? Serve people anyway. Yeah, serve people anyway. And again, so I tell you, if you say, you know, preacher, these things are very, very real. This is the way people are. I know it's very, very real. One thing I try not to do is I try not to forget these things, because I want to serve the Lord all the way till the day I die. I want to stay in an active, soul-winning church. I want to stay in the ministry. I want to keep serving God. And if I'm not careful, I can get in the midst of all the people and I can forget what it's really all about. I can forget that I'm with a bunch of sinners, and I can get these high expectations and I can get these high requirements of people. And I think we ought to expect something, especially from ourselves. But if you're not careful, you'll become disillusioned with people. But maybe just a little lesson like this would help you not to be illusioned, because people are people, and all people are sinners. Sinners can be really stupid sometimes. Hey, you serve today and it'll be forgotten tomorrow. Hey, listen, what I would do probably in this thing of serving people, maybe maybe we should not help people expecting something in return. Maybe we ought to just help people because it's right. If you and I would help people because it's right to help people, and then if nothing comes in return, if there's no thanks, if they don't remember your sacrifice for them, it won't affect your attitude. But folks, if you expect sinful, tainted, self-centered, egotistical, stingy human beings to treat you right because you've treated them right, you're going to be disappointed. And I hate to see you get disappointed to the point where you say, I've had it with a church. I've watched people walk away from a good church saying, I've just had it with people. That church down there, they're a bunch of sinners. You didn't know that coming in. I guess we lost track of it, didn't we? You can stay calm in the midst of the storm of people. If things like this, you just remember them every once in a while. Today, there's such a welfare mentality everywhere. It's very, very strong. It's give me, give me, give me, give me. And if you are not careful, you could just have a bad attitude, period, toward people. Now, I'm not a big promoter of the liberal socialistic ways at all, but I can tell you this, we never want to get a bad attitude about giving. That's something we ought to do. So, I said, the service that you render today will be forgotten tomorrow. And notice in every one of these cases, Paul or Jesus or some Bible figure was facing the very same thing that you and I face. Let me say this, number five. You're going to find this out. Honesty and transparency with people will make you vulnerable. Honesty and transparency with people will make you vulnerable. So you say, what do I do? Well, be honest and transparent anyway. It's, I'm tired of it. I'm going to close into myself and I'm never coming out of my little emotional bomb shelter. And you'll never be able to help anybody. Because people need someone that will be honest. And people need someone that will be transparent. You say, but every time I come out and I'm honest and I'm transparent in an effort to help somebody, they turn around and use it to hurt me. I know. That's because you're dealing with people. Oh, people. Sinner people. One of which, that's what I am. Don't forget that's what you are. In Luke 12:51, it says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you, nay, but rather division. And then in Luke 13:5, just a few verses later, he said, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know, Jesus was very transparent, and Jesus was very forthcoming with people. And I'll tell you what happens, folks. Sometimes when you tell man the truth about man, he'll get mad at you. Oh, wow. Y'all know what I mean by telling someone the truth about themselves and then suddenly you're the target? It's scary. I do not like people to say, Brother Owens, tell me the truth about me. I'm going, oh, no. You wouldn't be asking if you meant it. You're setting me up like a baseball. You want to knock my head off. Is my breath bad? I can't tell you that. If you can see it, it's bad. You know, most people do not want honesty. They want you to agree with them. But God blesses the truth. We just got to figure out the right way and the right time to share it. When people come to my office and they want counsel, they'll come in, and I frequently must say to them, now listen, you're asking me many, many questions. How about we just pick one, and I'll work on this one thing with you right now. Oh, Brother Owens, I just want you to be totally honest with me. No, you don't. You're so dumb, you don't even know what you're asking. If I was totally honest with you, this would be our last appointment. Honesty and transparency will make you vulnerable. It'll make you a target, but we have to figure out a way to lovingly be honest and transparent so we keep helping people. People. I wrote down number 6. People pretend to love the little folks, and then they sell their soul to the big folks. People pretend to love the little people, but sell their soul to the big people. Say, what do I do? Well, we fight for the little people anyway, and I'm not sure there's any such thing as little people, but maybe there are those that to our society are less attractive, less socially accepted. I love it because in Matthew 19, verse number 14, it says, but Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. You know, it seems to me like very few people really do love the poor. That's sad. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. And he tells us we should love the poor. Very few people truly love the returning backslider. Usually they just tolerate it, and they're on edge with it. I say that people pretend to love the poor, and people pretend to love the little people. Oh, but they will snuggle up with and socialize with the people they think are successful and have power. Did you know that's not to be the Christian way? The ground is level at the foot of the cross, and how much money someone has in their pocket does not determine how important they are to God. There is no numerical financial value placed on a soul other than for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that was for the red and yellow, black and white, the rich, the poor, people around the world. But very few people really are interested in what we might call the little people. I tell the people in my church, I say, I realize that the economy's tough, and I realize that the cost of gas has gone up. And I said, folks, just so you all know, I will turn the air conditioning off in these buildings before I will stop running the buses for our bus ministry. And I'll have people shout, amen! And some of those very ones that shout amen would be the first ones to leave my church if when it was 100 degrees we had a 3-hour service with no air conditioning. They'd like to give the impression, I love those bus kids, and I love those poor people. I love the down and outer. I love them! Just don't let them get in my road or mess up my bathroom or park in my parking spot or sit in my pew. And so, people pretend to love the little people but sell their souls to the big people. And you and I, if we want to be right with God, we've got to fight for the little people and fight for the poor and fight for the socially unaccepted anyway. You know, the Fundamental Baptist Church never has been made up of the ritzy, highfalutin. And that's not because we don't want to reach them. We ought to reach them too. So many times they can't tolerate us because we are commanded by God to reach the poor. And so we need to do it, even if it's not acceptable. And so, my take on the human race, people are illogical, unreasonable, self-centered. I'm going to love and trust them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motive, but I'm going to do good anyway. And if I stumble into some success, I'll end up with some false friends and some true enemies, but I'm going to attempt to succeed anyway. And if I serve today, I know it'll probably be forgotten tomorrow, but I think I'll keep serving anyway. And if I'm honest and transparent, it'll make me vulnerable, and I'll probably become a target, but I'll have to work on telling the truth and being honest and transparent anyway. And I know that there are those who pretend to love the little people, but they really cater to the big people. I'm still going to love and promote the little people and the poor anyhow. Oh, this next one is really, it's hard to swallow, but did you know what you spend years building has the potential being destroyed in days? What you spend years building has the potential of being destroyed in days. But my recommendation is that you build anyway. Just build anyway. Let me read a couple verses to you. Matthew 26, verse 8, 48 and 49, it says, "And he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him." Verse 56, it says, "But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled, that all the disciples forsook him and fled." Do you know that Jesus had spent years, 3 years in his public ministry, building these men? One of them turned on him. The others ran and hid. Now, let me tell you something. If Jesus spends 3 years discipling you, you done been discipled. 3 years he pumped into these men. And in a moment, one totally betrays him. The others ran to hide. You get to the point of the crucifixion, you've got John, and you've got Mary. There's hardly anybody hanging around down at the crucifixion. Where were they? Look at the foot of the cross. Judas, in a moment of betrayal, kind of, for at least as much as a human could, put some real brakes on the ministry there. Now we know that it was part of God's plan, but oh my. Little men can damage big men. Little evil men can damage good big men. So what do? Build on. Take your chances. Keep on going. Oh my. Someone can make an accusation against someone that could destroy their entire reputation and it not even be true. How dastardly, how low. You say, that scares me. It scares me from wanting to be productive. It scares me away from doing something for God. That's exactly what the devil wants it to do. You just build on. Just keep going. And so, I said, you could spend years building something and it could be destroyed, hampered in just a moment. Let me give it just two more and I'll be done. Number eight, people really need help, but they may hurt you if you help them. People need help, but they may hurt you if you help them. I'm going to read a couple passages of scripture to you. And you say, well, what's the answer? Help people anyway. Help them anyway. You say, am I not taking a chance? Yes, you are. You're taking a chance. Did you know that you can drown in less than a teaspoon of water? You still take a shower, don't you? I hope you do. It's a chance. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." That very same passage of Scripture is quoted in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And by the end of the chapter, it says this in verse 28 and 29 of Luke 4, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city." Wait a minute. Jesus came along and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel," or good tidings, "unto the meek." He said, "I came to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound." He said, "I'm coming to help you." And then a few verses later it says, "And all they in the synagogue that heard these things were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust them out of the city." Wait a minute. What are they doing? Jesus came to help and they turned around and hurt. Oh boy, do I hate for you to have to hear it. But you're going to help people that are going to hurt you. They say, what do I do? Just keep helping people. You say, but I'm shocked. Okay, maybe you were shocked, but shake it off and say, you know what? Why am I so shocked that a sinner would sin? And why am I so shocked that somebody would take what I give them and not thank me? We know better, don't we? Don't we know the human race? Most of us that, if you're saved, you probably heard the verses Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:19, where the Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one, and for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We use those verses, then we seem to put them away and say, we never remember them again. Are we not surrounded by sinners? Should we be totally shocked when the human race misbehaves? The ones you help the most are probably the ones that could break your heart the most. I was a young preacher, and I was sitting in Brother Hiles's office as a very young preacher boy. He said, "Jeff, I'm just going to tell you, the people that you love the most have the potential of hurting you the most, because you have given the most of you to them. And while they have you and have your heart, they may break it." He said, "But don't become disenchanted. You just go help somebody else." Wouldn't the devil love it if he could get us all caught up in the negative side of all this and get us to the point where I don't want to be a Sunday school teacher, and I don't want to be a bus captain, and I don't want to be a missionary anymore, and I don't want to be an evangelist, and I don't want to be a pastor's wife, and I don't want to be a pastor, I don't want to be a Sunday school teacher, I really don't even want to go down to the church because of those people. You know, those people. You know how people are. The more people you love, the greater your potential to be hurt. So let me say to even you pastors, you say, "I want to succeed, I want to reach a lot of people." Then you're asking for a lot of heartache, and I'm sorry, I can't get you out of it. Because people will break your heart. Because people broke God's heart. And people break the Heavenly Father's heart all day long, every day, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day from the moment that man was created and fell in the garden. He has broken God's heart, and God just keeps coming back. He said, "I'm going to help you. I'm going to get you back up. I'm going to try again." God is not disillusioned with people. He knows what we are. He knows what we are, and He said, "I'm here for you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." You see, I love what Paul said in the opening passage of Scripture. He said, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself fervent unto all men, that I might gain the more." You know, our whole goal is our lives be used to help people. And if we're going to be people helpers, we got to put up with people. You know how they are. But we lose track of it, don't we? One minute, it's a miracle. When you lose track of it, you say, "What a mess!" Is it a mess or a miracle? Which is it? Still a miracle, but we're dealing with people that are a mess. Hey, and so you know, those things you don't like about me today, you'll probably be guilty of them next week. One thing I've noticed, I can get all over Mrs. Owens about something. Within a month, I'm finding myself guilty of some of the very same behavior. I'm thinking, she was the one that forgot to record that check in the ledger of the checkbook last month, and here today we find it's me. She was late for the appointment last month. Today, it's me. I would guess you and I ought to learn to be patient with one another since we're so much alike. You say, "Oh, what she did, I would never do." Now you're so full of pride. Let's see. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Sounds like it's coming your way. You must be next. Let me give you one more. We're all getting miserable with each other. We're either going to love each other when we're done here today, or we're going to hate each other. Look at what we're surrounded by, or by that which we're surrounded. Here we go, number 9. You give people the best that you have, and you're liable to get kicked in the teeth anyway. You give people the best you have, and you may get kicked in the teeth anyway. You say, "What do? Keep giving the best that you can. Keep giving your best. You know, if we're not careful, we'll get this idea that, well, I gave of myself, and I gave thoroughly, and I gave my best, and it came back to bite me the next time I go to help somebody. I'm not giving the best of me." And I think the Lord would say, "Don't hold back. Give it your all." Matthew 27:17, it says, "Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, 'Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. What did Jesus give to these people? What did God give to these people? His best. God gave his best. And they chose Barabbas. Well, I thank God the way God is. God says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew he would be rejected. See, he had not lost track of our sinful, nasty human behavior. How sad that Barabbas could be treated well while Jesus was crucified. And if it could happen to Jesus, I guess it could happen to you and I. I want very, very desperately, I don't want to be famous. I don't have to be at the top of the totem pole. I'd like to just be faithful all the way to the end. I'd like to die having served God all the way through. Now, the only way that I think I'm going to accomplish is that I've got to keep my eye on God and then the reality of people. Because in the midst of this whole thing that we call church building, in the midst of this whole thing around the local New Testament church, we are surrounded by people. And people can be hard to deal with. They can be hard to live with. They can be hard to be around. They're unpredictable. They're stingy. They're self-centered. They're happy one day. They're sad the next. They're your friend one day, and they're mad at you the next day. They're hungry one day, and they're full the next day. They're up and they're down. They're hot and they're cold. Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? They're just like me. Every once in a while, you preachers will understand this, every once in a while I retract myself just enough to get a hold of me, push the reset button on what it's all about. My whole life is about people. I've got to learn to live with God while I live with people. And I'll make you one promise. God is the ultimate people person, if you will. If you get around him, you will learn how to handle sinful people, because he knows how to deal with them perfectly. But when you have gotten away from God, the people professional, you won't deal with people well. That's when you're saying, I think I'll kill her. I want to get a handful of her hair in these bony fingers. Spend time with God. You'll do better when you're with people. Get away from God. Again, get away from right relationships. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, take the little lesson about our attitude among people. Bless it and use it somehow. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.